It's a risky thing to do, to try and put ourselves into the mind of God and think, what exactly is God thinking in a particular moment in time and history that we are passing through under His loving care? But if we did so for a moment this morning, what is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit thinking as we step into this part of John's narrative, John chapter 11, we hear today what's going on. The thought process might be something like this on God's part. What if I could do some dramatic, amazing gesture, something so powerful and so profound that even the unbelievers would believe and be saved? Because up to this point, if you read the gospel carefully, and this story today, no exception, it is true that by this time, they still have not figured out just who Jesus is. The disciples don't understand. They always think he's speaking in some kind of code. Martha, Mary, Lazarus, among his closest of friends, Martha and Mary don't quite understand who he is either. I mean, they speak of the resurrection, but it's in terms that would have made sense for those of the Jews at the time anyhow. That was a common belief. So they don't quite get it either. Certainly, the public officials, the Jews, don't understand him. So God might say, what can I do? What would bring about belief? What would bring about their salvation and show that I am the resurrection, the life, the way, and the truth? So word comes to Jesus, who is traveling out of Jerusalem to get out of harm's way for the moment, because they're threatening him there already. Word comes that his friend has died. So what does he do? He waits two more days to make the gesture even more dramatic and goes back into the lion's den, you might say. And the story unfolds. And what happens? He raises a dead man. He raises a dead man. How amazing and dramatic is that? A demonstration of his power over life and death. He raises a dead man. The question becomes then, what's the reaction? How do people respond to this amazing sign, this seventh and last sign in John's gospel? Well, to get at that, we had to look around the rest of the verses a little bit after today's reading breaks off. Martha, Mary, and now Lazarus raised, a few verses later, hold a dinner for Jesus at their home, only 6 days before Passover. And at the dinner, he is anointed, Jesus is, with genuine, costly, aromatic oil. Why? Because Martha, Mary, Lazarus know that Jesus is about to die. So how do they react? This guy's going to die. That's kind of their muted reaction. What about the disciples? Well, it becomes clear as the story goes on after these verses in Jerusalem. Once again, they find themselves at the Last Supper. We'll find ourselves next week. They don't get it either. They still don't understand just who he is. And what about the Jerusalem establishment, those who run the temple? Well, a few verses after this one, they get together, they have an emergency meeting, and they say, this guy's got to go. That he could not be from God. And in fact, the high priest says, not knowing how right he is, better that one man should die than an entire nation perish. Get rid of him. And so the decision is made because of this dramatic sign that Jesus has to die. And that is what happens in reaction to this grand gesture on God's part. So a hard-heartedness all around, blindness all around. Now, to go back to God's mind for a second, again, risky thing, but let's think about it. At this point, what is God saying? He's saying, this is perfect. This is exactly what I knew was going to happen. This is all part of the plan. And God might think back, or remind those around him to think back to Isaiah and Jeremiah, the Old Testament prophets, especially those two. At those points, he would say to Isaiah and Jeremiah, you're going to preach, and you're going to bring a message, and they're not going to listen to you. Their hearts are going to stay hardened, their vision will be blinded, their ears will be deaf, lest they turn and be converted, as if to say, something so dramatic has to happen to them, only then are they going to get it. So, Isaiah, Jeremiah, don't be surprised if they don't listen to what you have to say. I'm planning on it, God said. It'll bring about the next most important step. We could say the same thing about the situation with Lazarus. As John's gospel unfolds, it's pretty clear that the dramatic gesture that God really had in mind from the beginning not just to the opening of chapter 11. The dramatic act on Christ's part that he knows he has to do isn't simply raising a dead man. That's something on the order of a smaller thing, although it's impressive, I would agree. The grand gesture that God knows must happen is that his own son, his only begotten son, must be put to death by the establishment. And on the third day, he must be raised. That's what has to happen to save the world. So when God thinks, what can I do? That's what he's thinking of. This is a story that leads up to that story. That's the purpose it really ultimately serves. So in God's unfolding plan that is now hurtling towards inevitable conclusion that we'll celebrate in only a few short days in Holy Week coming up, this is supposed to happen. It leads us, I suppose, with two questions we can ponder today as we enter Passiontide this Sunday. They are these. The first question is this. How often has it been true in my life, in your life, when God has done something dramatic, beautiful, and profound at the service of our own life and grace? How often has he done that, and we have persisted in our blindness, in our sinfulness, and in our pathway that is contrary to life? How often has this story played out again and again? God acts, and we don't respond. We need to ponder that question with all mournful seriousness and sorrowful sadness as we enter this point of the Lenten season. God acts, we don't pay attention. A. B, perhaps more importantly and profoundly, would be this. Isn't it amazing that whenever that happens, then and now, God uses it to bring about his glory? He's never stopped by our sinfulness. He just keeps right on going. So that's fine. I'll use it. If you are hard-hearted, I will work with that. I will triumph over that. So powerful am I, so intent am I on saving the world, that when you are hard-hearted and persist in your blindness, I will bring you light in some other way. That's how God works. It's amazing. So we are hard-hearted, it's true, A. And B, it is always in the end for God's glory. That's a very consoling truth of the ever-unfolding plan of salvation on a personal and on a global, universal level. Those questions to ponder now as we hit the ground running to Jerusalem with the Lord. We are sinful, it's true, and in our sins, God shines through with his glory and power, because he always is the way, the truth, the resurrection, and the life.